If you have your Bibles this morning, turn with me please to the book of Acts. Acts chapter number 8. Acts chapter number 8. Acts chapter number 8. It's 20 minutes till 12. How many of you would agree that if Pastor was finished by 12, it would be an absolute miracle from God? There's hands going up everywhere. Amen. Amen. I guess those are the people that really want me to know how much they love me. Amen. Let's stand in reverence to the Word of God. If you're able to. If you're not, that's fine. God's Word in Acts chapter number 8. I'd like to read in verse number 31. Let's start in verse 31. And he said, how can I? Well, let me read verse 30. Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Esaias. That's Isaiah. And he said, understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, how can I except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so he openeth not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speakest the prophet this, of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture, and preached unto him. What's that next word?
Jesus.
You can be seated. Pray with us. Pray for us. Father, thank you this morning for the privilege to come in your presence. I pray, Lord, this morning that you would speak to our hearts. Encourage us, our Father, this morning, and help us, our Lord, that we might see him as Moses did, who is invisible. And Lord, that you would help us with the eye of faith, Lord, to look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Help us, we pray this day in Jesus' name, and amen, and amen. What I want to call the message today is simply this. If I could only preach one short message. If I could only preach one short message. I was talking to Brother Jason on the parking lot Wednesday night. We were intended on having a look, some mini preaching kind of. And God put this in my heart, and I was talking to him, and he said, Brother, I was going to preach on if I could only preach 5 minutes. And I looked at Brother Jason, and I said, that's the difference between youth and wisdom. Because the word short is relative. You'll get that after a while. Say amen. In other words, if somebody's been preaching an hour, well then short could be anything less than that. Say amen. But I want to preach this morning. If I could only preach, that's the thought that came to my mind. What would I do? What would I say? I could also title the message this, if it was my last message. And it very well be the last message that I ever get to preach. And this is the text that God put on my heart. Somebody asked me years ago, they said, if you had to tell someone how to get to heaven and you could only use one word, what would that word be? Think about that in your mind for a moment. What would that word be? I answered that individual immediately. I didn't even pray about it or think about it. But I said, if I only had one word, I'd say Jesus. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. It's not a Baptist way or Catholic way or a Methodist way. Honey, it's a Jesus way or it's no way at all. Amen. We must all come through the sacrifice of Calvary. There's several things going on in this text I want to call your attention to. The first thing is Jesus, the Savior, suffering. That's what we're reading about here in verse number 31 and 32 and 33. And in his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. The scripture's being quoted. And by the way, I love Philip's answer when the Bible said he began at that same scripture. Honey, if you're going to point somebody to Jesus, you better use the Bible. Amen. And what Philip is wanting him to know, first of all, is how that Christ suffered. This is the place where this man happened to be reading as he was in his chariot. And he wanted him to know about the suffering of the Lord. The Bible said something like this, and I'm just trying my best to give you a few verses. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Yet did he carry our sorrow. He was smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. All we, that word all means all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. I believe Philip, when he began to talk to this eunuch, I believe he began to convey to him, son, I'm no better than you. All of us have went astray. And Jesus went to Calvary and suffered. He not only suffered at Calvary, but beloved, he suffered in the garden when his sweat became as great drops of blood. He suffered when they planted a crown of thorns and pulled them down into his brow. He suffered when they stripped him. It was an absolute shame for a Jew to be stripped off in public. And when they stripped him, he suffered. And then they, beloved, scourged him. They tied him to a post and they beat him to a pulp. And the Bible said, beloved, they would use that cat of nine tails and jerk hunks of flesh out of that body. Jesus is bleeding from his brow. He's bleeding from his back. And beloved, the Word of God teaches us that his visage was so marred, more than the form of any man. He's been bruised because they blindfolded him and hit him in the face and said, prophesy, who hit you? I'll tell you, beloved, listen, there's too many people that's got a pretty little cross around their neck, and they don't realize that that cross that Jesus hung on, it wasn't pretty, it was ugly, amen? I'm not against wearing a cross around your neck, but we should never forget the suffering, amen, that that cross depicts, and that Jesus paid the price for your sin and my sin, and he suffered on the cross of Calvary. We should never forget that he was mocked, that he was nailed to the cross. We should never forget that when they came to break the legs of the prisoners that were crucified, the Bible prophesied, not a bone of him shall be broken. So, beloved, they didn't have to. He was already dead. You say, Pastor, why? Because he gave up the ghost. He was in control. Amen. He said, I have the power to lay down my life, and I have the power to take it up again. And they took a spear and stuck it under his rib cage, and forthwith came blood and water. If I could only preach one message, it would have to be about Jesus. And Jesus suffering for you, and suffering for me, and suffering for my grandbabies, and suffering for my children, and suffering for those in Bloomingdale this morning. Jesus suffered for us. The Savior suffering. Jesus, the Savior suffering. If I could only preach one short message, I would want to continue to Jesus, the Savior, saving. Glory to God, he didn't just suffer, but he's still saving. The Word of God said to the uttermost, those that come unto God by him, he's the Savior of the world. Amen. There's only one. I know there's all kinds of religions, but if you can find the bones of their founder, beloved, don't trust in that. Amen. I thank God Christianity is about a Savior that got up the third and appointed day, victorious over death, hell, and the grave. You say, Pastor, where did you find that in the text? Look at verse 36. And the Bible said they went on their way. They came to certain water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. Do you remember that this eunuch now has been to Jerusalem? I believe when he was in Jerusalem, beloved, he probably met some Christians. I believe he probably heard some testimonies and heard some stories. It wasn't popular to be a Christian then, amen? But I believe that he heard some about the Christians, beloved. The Bible said they were called Christians first at Antioch. And I believe this eunuch had heard some stories when he went to Jerusalem, and it was on his mind, and he was reading his Bible, and he was looking for some answers, and he meets up with Philip. Actually, he didn't meet up with Philip. Philip met up with him because the blessed Holy Ghost was leading him. Oh, what a joy it is to go out week after week after week and bow our heads and pray, God, you lead us. You show us where you want us to go, because we found out there's a Savior working on both ends. If he's a working in our heart, he's a working in their hearts. Amen. And beloved, when he got there, when Philip got there, he found the Lord working in his heart. In verse 36, he said, they went on their way. They came to certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if you'll join the local church. Is that what he said? And Philip said, if you'll just get in that water. Is that what it said? He said, Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, hallelujah. The Bible, beloved, said that with the mouth confession, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. With the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Saved. Glory to God, we see Jesus, the Savior, saving. He said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Now you say, what's the big deal right there? I'm going to tell you what the big deal is. There were people dying for believing that. Say amen. And I'm going to tell you something, beloved. If this world keeps going the way it's going, there'll be people dying again for believing that. I'm telling you, that mess over there at the Olympics, amen, I will not watch 30 seconds of the Olympics. I'm telling you, beloved, they can have their drag queens. And, beloved, they can have them in the kindergarten classes. But we need to stand up as God's people and realize, beloved, God has saved us and called us out of this wicked world to take a stand for what's right. Amen. We see the Savior saving. You could ask Paul. He would say, he saved me on the Damascus Road. You could ask a woman at the well. She'd say, he saved me. He turned my life around. I'm no longer with sleeping with this one and that one and this one and that one. But the Savior come by the well that day and told me all things ever I did. Is not this the Christ? You could ask, beloved, listen, that woman that was taken in adultery, and she'd say, oh, I want you to know I met him one day. They throwed me down there and was ready to stone me to death. And Jesus said, he that without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. That woman would say, honey, they all dropped their rocks and they all went away. And Jesus forgave me of my sin. And he said, get up and go and sin no more. Amen. Oh, what a Savior we have. We'd have to talk about the Jesus, the Savior, suffering. Jesus, the Savior, saving. You think about, beloved, the Philippian jailer. Listen, when God shook that jail, and those doors flew open and no prisoners left. You want to talk about a miracle. Amen. Not one prisoner left. And there come that jailer. He was going to kill himself. Paul said, do thyself no harm. We're all here. He come in there and the Bible said, trembling. I believe that lantern he was carrying was singing Amazing Grace. Amen. He was trembling. Amen. He said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? I'm not adding to the Bible, but what he was really saying is, I need a dose of what you boys got. I ain't never seen nothing like this before. And Paul, beloved, it wasn't a complicated answer. It wasn't something he was going to have to sit down and figure out for 30 days. He said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Oh, what a Savior this morning. You could ask that maniac of Gadara. He'd say, when he found me, I was among the tombs. He'd say, I was cutting on myself. He said, I had a bunch of demons living in me. He'd say, I'll tell you something right now. He come to where I was and he set me free. I'm telling you, when they found me downtown, I was clothed and sitting at the feet of Jesus. And for the first time in a long time, I was in my right mind. I'm telling you about a Savior, beloved, that didn't just suffer, but a Savior that saves. Amen. He saves to the uttermost. I don't know about you. I've got some people in my life that I love. And I'm telling you, it almost looks hopeless. But I'm going to tell you, God is still on the throne and they're still breathing. Amen. And there's hope. Amen. In God. The Bible said, hope thou in God. I believe with all of my heart, he's still saving. And then I'll give you this. If I could only preach one short message, it would be Jesus, the Savior, suffering. Jesus, the Savior, saving. But I'm going to give you this. Jesus, the Savior, satisfying. You know, the first thing I want to mention is probably something that many have never thought about. But when Jesus died on the cross, the first one that was satisfied was the Father. Glory to God, Brother Chris. The Bible said he shall see of the travail of his soul and he shall be satisfied. Thank God, beloved. Jesus' blood satisfied the holy demand of a righteous God for sin. Amen. It satisfied the Father. And then, beloved, I want to say this. Jesus the Savior, he satisfies down here. You say, Pastor, what do you mean? Well, look what the Bible said. If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. He answered and said, I believe Jesus is the Son of God. By the way, God took that profession of faith and built the whole church on it and said, the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Amen. Watch what he said. He commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. Glory to God. Brother Chris, I'm telling you, that eunuch went to Jerusalem and he left unsatisfied. Amen. He was reading his Bible and he was still unsatisfied. But honey, when Jesus Christ, the Lamb of the living God, saved his soul, hallelujah, he could rejoice because he was satisfied that he had been saved by the grace of God. I say it satisfied the Father. It satisfies us here. But thank God Jesus the Savior will satisfy us there. You say, Pastor, what do you mean? There's nobody that's going to die in the Lord. I'm talking about a Christian now, born again. Beloved, the Bible said, I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. Ain't nobody going to wake up on the other side of that river and say, my goodness, I wish it was this or I wish it was that. Oh, no, honey. I'm telling you what's the truth. It's going to be wonderful there, having no burdens to bear, gloriously singing with heart bells all ringing. Won't it be wonderful there? We'll be satisfied forever and forever. There's a man in Mississippi. He was a prisoner. I preached the first morning that the first evening, there was a three-day revival. There was 10 units in that prison. And we had over 100 men working that revival. They asked me to preach the first night. And I preached that night on 5 reasons why I don't want to go to hell and 1 reason why I'm not. And I'm telling you what's the truth. God used that message in churches. He used that message in prison. 5 reasons why I don't want to go to hell and 1 reason why I'm not. And I preached that message and that man had walked the aisle that first night. I didn't know that. But I was working the altar the last night, and that man come down, and he said, I said, sir, what is it? He said, I just don't know for sure if I'm saved. That's what he said. And I said, sir, well, tell me what makes you think you might be saved. He said, the other night you was preaching on hell. He said, I walked down this aisle and that man told me that if I'd trust Jesus, if I'd turn from my sin, if I was willing to repent and trust Jesus, Jesus would save me. If I just asked the Lord Jesus to save me. He said, that's what that man told me. And he said, I asked Jesus to save me. I said, I think I know what the problem is, brother. I said, I got it. I know what the problem is. I took him and I put my finger on a verse of scripture. I said, read that. Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I said, here's the problem, sir. I said, God didn't mean that. It got quiet. That old boy swelled up. He said, he did too, preacher. He said, he meant everything he said in that book. That's what he said. And I said, well, I know. I said, you know what, brother? I'm inclined to agree with you. I said, I know what the problem is now for sure. He said, well, tell me. I said, here's the problem. I said, you come down that aisle the other night and you asked Jesus to forgive you and you're just playing some game. You didn't mean it. You didn't mean it. You didn't ask the Lord to save you and mean it from the bottom of your heart. I said, that's got to be the problem. I didn't say anything else. He stood there a minute. He says, you don't understand. You don't understand. You don't understand. I never said a word. He said, I meant it with all of my heart. I'm still standing there. I ain't said a thing. I don't know how long it was. Maybe 5, 10, 15 seconds. That old boy raised his hands in the air and he said, I'm saved. Praise God. I'm saved. You know what happened? The blessed Holy Ghost of God let him know you can be satisfied with Jesus and Jesus alone. Amen. He's the only one that'll save you. He's the only one. Then I got to give you this. It's 12 o'clock. Now be done. We see Jesus, the Savior, seeking. Look at verse 40. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities. Why did Philip go on? Why didn't he just say, well, praise God, Brother Chris, I had one saved today. I'm going to go get me some iced tea and a hamburger. You reckon they had pals over there? I don't know. I think I'm going to get me a Frenchy fry. I'm going to sit down under a shade tree. You say, why did Philip go on preaching in all the cities? I'll tell you why. Because Jesus is still seeking and saving. That's his whole purpose. He said, I came to seek and to save that which is lost. Why does God preach us the way he does? Why do we pray? Why do we prepare? Because we serve a Savior that's still seeking to the uttermost those who will believe. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. If I could only preach one short message, I'd talk about the Savior suffering. I'd talk about the Savior saving. I'd talk about the Savior satisfying. And I'd talk about the Savior seeking that which was lost. If you're in this building today and you're lost, it's not his fault. It's not his fault. He's seeking. He's come to where you are. He's knocking. Would you trust him? Would you trust him? Would you trust him? Would you trust him?